And welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Ligori. So glad you can join me where I am every week right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at WLIW.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. Each show is archived on my website at annligori.com and distributed on my podcast via Audioboom and iTunes. On today's show, I share two conversations that combine many of the things I love about sports: compelling stories, interesting people, the game of golf, and in this case, a very special connection to Ireland. First up is my conversation with acclaimed actor, writer, and director Ed Burns, whose latest independent film, Finnegan's Foursome, brings together two of his passions, filmmaking and golf. Ed Burns wrote, directed, produced, and stars in the film, a comedy drama about an Irish-American golfing family. Two competitive brothers and their adult children travel to Ireland to honor the final wishes of their late father, a former professional golfer, who instilled in them a love for the game. What begins as a golf trip, complete with family rivalries, old grudges, and plenty of competitive banter, ultimately becomes a story about family, loss, forgiveness, and the bonds that golf can create across generations. And this film is particularly special to me because many of the golf scenes were filmed at the spectacular Carn Golf Links in Balmullet, County Mayo, in Ireland, where I am a member and currently serve as president of the Carn Golf Club International Members Association. Anyone who has been to Carn knows how truly incredible it is. The towering dunes, the dramatic Lynx land, the Atlantic Ocean, the rugged beauty of Northwest Ireland, it really is one of golf's great landscapes. And Finnegan's Foursome captures so much of that beauty on screen. Ed Burns himself has described Carn as one of his favorite places on the planet, and much of the golf action in the movie was filmed there. So naturally, I was fascinated to hear Ed talk about what it was like to bring a film crew to this relatively remote and very special part of Ireland. So we discussed the experience he and his cast and crew had filming at Carn, how the golf course and surrounding landscape became almost another character in the movie, and why Ireland provided such an ideal backdrop for the story. Ed is also an avid golfer who spends quite a bit of time right here on the east end of Long Island. So we had plenty to talk about beyond filmmaking. It was a pleasure getting to know him and hearing how he combined his passion for independent filmmaking with his love of golf. Finnegan's Foursome premiered at the Tribeca Festival and was released digitally this summer. It stars Ed Burns along with Brian Darcy James, Erica Hernandez, Brian Moeller, and Ian McKinney. Later in the show, we go from Hollywood and Ireland to one of the most prestigious championships in all of amateur golf. My second conversation is with Jack Whaley, the newly crowned 2026 U.S. Amateur Champion. What a week it was for this 22-year-old from England. He is a rising senior at Florida State University, and he arrived at historic Marion Golf Club ranked 90th in the World Amateur Golf Rankings. Remarkably, he nearly didn't even make it into match play. He had to survive a 16-for-11 playoff just to earn a spot in the match play bracket. And from there, he simply kept winning. And in the 36-hole championship match against Stanford's Jay Leng Jr., Jack found himself 2 down after the morning 18. But he completely turned the match around in the afternoon, winning 4 of the first 5 holes. He eventually closed it out with a birdie on the 33rd hole for a 4-3 victory and the Havemeyer Trophy. In doing so, Jack became the first Florida State golfer ever to win the U.S. Amateur. And think about how quickly a victory like that can change the trajectory of a young golfer's career. Winning the U.S. Amateur brings extraordinary opportunities, including exemptions into the 2027 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach and the Open Championship at St. Andrews, and by virtue of reaching the final, an invitation to the Masters. And there's another exciting chapter coming very soon for Jack. He will represent Great Britain and Ireland in the Walker Cup, which will be at Lahinch in Ireland, September 5th and 6th. I caught up with Jack in a rather unusual setting. He was a passenger in a car heading south from Marion outside Philadelphia on a road trip toward Florida. And just to be clear, he was not driving. What struck me during our conversation was just how personable and grounded he is. Here's a young man whose life had changed dramatically only hours earlier, yet he was happy to talk about the journey, the pressure of match play, the people who helped him along the way, and what it meant to win one of the most coveted trophies in amateur golf. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. Congratulations to Jack Whaley, the 22-year-old from England and rising senior at Florida State University, who won the U.S. Amateur Championship at historic Marion Golf Club outside of Philadelphia yesterday. And Jack happens to be driving back to Florida at this very moment. Hey, congratulations, Jack.
Thanks for having me.
And I understand that you are not driving, which is a good thing.
No, I'm not driving, no. I will be not looking at the road.
Exactly. Well, that's better. And I met your girlfriend who is driving. And so all the best on this road trip back. But man, what a week you've had. It's a life-changing win, Jack. Tell me about it.
It's been an unexpected week, but it's definitely been one of the best weeks of my life. So it's been awesome.
Exactly. Now, with this win, you earn exemptions into the 2027 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. The Open Championship on the old course at St. Andrews, and probably an invite to the Masters next April. So I know it might be a little early to think about all these incredible opportunities, but what are your early thoughts about all that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible honor to be invited to these major championships. I'm really looking forward to them. All I've said at the start of the week is just to play golf and let the golf talk. And I think it's definitely done that, and to be able to be given the opportunity to go and play in these with such incredible golfers is a lifelong dream of mine. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. And to be able to play a US Open at Pebble Beach and a Open Champ at St. Andrews is probably the pinnacle of major championship venues. So I'm really, really looking forward to them. And I'm really glad I got the opportunity to win the US Amateur at Marion.
And you also automatically earn one of the 10 spots on the Walker Cup team, which will be at Lahinch in Ireland. So are you looking forward to that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I've just been talking to Dean, our manager, and he sent me some pictures over and the itinerary for the week. And it looks like it's going to be an incredible week, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm hoping we have a lot of support out there, seeing as though it's in Ireland. We've got a great team. It's not been fully decided yet on the rest of the team, but for the first five that we know are exempt, it's going to be a really solid team for the GB and I team, and I'm really looking forward to what that week's going to bring.
And the Irish Open is the week after at Doonbeg, so I will be over there for that as well. All these opportunities, when you're playing this U.S. Amateur, and it is a grueling week. Well, first of all, let's talk about that grueling week, because for my audience who might not know the specifics of what it all entails, can you summarize the week?
Yeah, first got to do two practice rounds, which is very long, so that's pretty draining as it is. And then you've got the two rounds for the stroke play. I think it's seven rounds of match play after that. So it's a lot of golf in the week, and making the top 64 qualifies you for the match play. And then you've got the seven rounds after that. So it's definitely a lot of golf, and you've got to be well prepared, and your body's got to be really, really prepared for a lot of golf. And I think it's definitely one of the longest weeks. It's very similar to the British Amateur. So definitely a really long week, and there's a lot at stake at this tournament. So you've got to be mentally prepared and physically prepared to make it all the way to Sunday.
Absolutely. I know you were part of a 16-for-11 playoff for the final match play spot. How wild was that playoff?
Yeah, it was insane. That was probably the first time I ever played in a crowd as big as that. And to be able to be on the 13th hole at Merriam, which is such an iconic hole, short par three, and to almost make a hole in one in the playoff was pretty spectacular. And we didn't really have high expectations. We didn't go into that thinking we're definitely going to make it through to the match play. But to be able to hit that one shot at a clutch time was probably one of the best shots I've ever hit in my life and the most important one. So,
And your first match, you survived what, in 22 holes?
yeah, 22 holes. A long, 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 long game.
Unbelievable. So now talk about your final. Fast forward to Sunday, the championship, to talk about, that 36-hole experience.
Yeah, I've kind of not really had much sleep the entire week because I've been struggling to get off the golf course before 8 o'clock. Going into the quarterfinal, semi-final, and then to the final, I had a little bit more time to have a bit of a good sleep. So it was nice to set that off for the 36-hole day going on Sunday. But going into it, I had a really, really hot start on the first 18 holes. Sorry, the first 9 holes, and then Jay kind of came crawling back and got 4 holes back on me, and or 5 holes, whatever it was, and finishing the first 18 two down. It was kind of like, okay, right, we need to go do something. We need to go work on something that wasn't really working. And we went in, had a good lunch, and got out there a little bit early to go and work on the putting because the greens were slightly slower than what they were playing during the week, because they had a little bit of more moisture on them and they slowed them down a little bit. I don't know if it was intentional or it just happened because of the weather, but I left a couple of putts short in the morning, and then as a counter of that, I ended up hitting a few putts past because I was scared of leaving them short again. So went onto the putting green with my Florida State coach, Trey Jones. We really worked hard on dialing the speed and getting the confidence back up, and I ended up feeling really, really good on the putting green. So I ended up going to the tee 15 minutes early and standing around 15 minutes just because I felt ready. So then I went into that final 18 holes and it felt really, really good and got off to a really hot start. Won 4 out of the first 5 holes, and I just tried to maintain that for as long as I possibly could. And it seemed to work. The game plan worked, and whatever we did at lunch obviously worked. So
What did he tell you at lunch?
there's one famous quote that Coach Jones says is just trust your eyes, and that's all I did in the afternoon was trust my eyes and just be really confident in what I was doing on the putting green. And a lot more putts started to drop. There's a couple of 20, 25 footers that I hold, which was probably detrimental to winning the match. So, yeah, just trust my eyes and be confident because he said I was a great putter, and I think it de definitely demonstrated my confidence and my ability of putting in the afternoon. So,
Oh, absolutely. You being from England as well, do you feel as if you were more familiar with perhaps the rainy, soft conditions of the golf course? I know you put on the glove. The glove's going to get a lot of attention now, right? But what, tell me about the glove that you put on and how familiar, just your experience playing, in the UK, how that may have helped at Merion on a kind of wet day.
yeah, 100%. I mean, we grown up, obviously growing up in England, we don't have the best of weather all year round, so you kind of get used to playing in the windy conditions and the wet conditions. And I know a lot of golfers over here are kind of not really used to it because if it starts raining in this country, 9 times out of 10, there's lightning following it, and you're off the golf course. Whereas in England, that doesn't really happen. You stay out on the golf course and just get drenched. So you kind of have to learn to be really good in the rain and try and keep things dry and have a method to be able to doing it. And I think at the start, when it started raining, my dad was a little bit slow in terms of what the plan was going to be to keep dry and keep everything running smoothly. But as soon as I brought out the double gloves and had a little bit more grip, it seemed to work a lot better. I had to get rid of the original gloves because they were getting a little bit wet and slippy. So I got the rain gloves out, and it started to be a lot better. So maybe that's the key to playing in the rain is the white gloves.
For sure. I have gloves in my bag as well as a rain suit. I play a lot of golf in Ireland, but well, good for you. And so you came into the championship ranked what, 90 in the world amateur rankings, right? And not seated that high in match play. So Is it something you kind of enjoy being the guy people perhaps weren't expecting to see in the final and then to win it all?
Yeah, 100%. I think one of the things that me and Coach Jones talked about just going through into ACC's championship this year was talking about how someone who is essentially the underdog has nothing to lose. If someone's ranked 50th and you're playing and you're ranked 300th, you're playing a lot more free. You've got nothing to lose. So I think definitely going into it, it felt like I was an underdog, but at the same time, it felt like I had more of a better chance because I knew my ability was good enough and that I was playing more free than everyone else.
And what part of your game do you think held up the best under pressure all week? If you had to pinpoint, one aspect.
I think off the tee, I was pretty good this week. I think there was only one tee shot, and that's when I slipped on the sixth tee box when it started to rain. When I had the original glove on, it just slipped out of my hand and I hit it OB. But apart from that, I don't think I hit a really bad wayward drive at all this week. And then obviously going on Sunday, it kind of held under the pressure and was still hitting the fairways and still hitting it long, and it was good. And then I would say that my putting got progressively better as the week went on. During the stroke play, it wasn't really that good. I didn't really hole much. I hit a lot of greens. Didn't really hole much, but as you got more comfortable on the greens and got the speed a little bit better, and the confidence was rising. So I think they're the two attributes that I think was probably the best this week.
And how much do you think you brought from your Florida State University golf experience to the US Amateur? I mean, what you've learned there, and as you say, the coach was there. How much of that really helped?
Before playing at Florida State, we didn't really play much match play in America, and I'd not played against top amateur level golfers in match play. Kind of just played county level, and which is obviously still very, very good. But we're talking about top 100 players in the world here. You know, it's a bit of a different game. So I think definitely playing ACC's really, really made it a lot easier to understand that I was good enough to be able to be in these situations, you know. And you're playing against I played against a couple of good players in ACCs and felt like I still held my own, and it built the confidence up, and I think that really showed this week.
And talk a little bit about the mental strength that it requires to hang in there all week and, eventually pull out the US Amateur title.
Yeah, it's definitely a mentally draining week. You've got a lot of golf to think about, you've got a lot of numbers to think about, you've got a lot of decisions to make. So I think it is definitely, I think a lot of it is whoever's the mentally strongest during the week has got the best chance of winning. And I think my mental game was really, really good this week. I got a message from Coach Jones on the this morning saying that I conducted myself really well on the golf course, and he thought that my attitude was great. And that's something that I've been trying to work on a lot recently, is because I used to get a little bit angry and it kind of affected my golf a little bit too much. And then as you get older, I feel like I've slowly matured on the golf course to the point where I can kind of handle my emotions a little bit better. And I think it definitely helped this week being able to handle them situations.
And who do you think has been the biggest influence on your golf? Who has influenced you the most on your golf journey? If you could pinpoint, maybe you have a few.
Yeah, I think obviously my dad's a big one. Just keeps me pushing every day, and if I ever have any struggles, he's always there to kind of pick me back up, you know. And then obviously my swing coach has been a massive aspect of my life. I've been with him for 18 years now, and he's always there to give me the confidence again in my golf swing and tell me that my game's good enough. And then I think the two of us are Coach Ben Rickett. At Dolan State, he's been a massive help towards my golf game. He took a chance on me 3 years ago, and it's been a great ride from there. And then obviously Coach Jones at Florida State, he's been a massive help for me this year. He's walked a lot of golf courses with me. He's been on a bag caddying during the tournaments, and I think having someone that's such a great golf coach being there and being able to clearly identify which parts of your game you need to work on because he's seen every single hole of a golf tournament is massive, and it's really helped me with my practicing and stuff like that. So yeah, there's probably the four main ones.
And one or two more questions here, Jack. At 22, you're at that fascinating point where professional golf is getting closer. So, I mean, how much are you thinking about what comes next at this point?
It's one of them things. It's kind of just you got to take it as it comes. Obviously, I'm gonna get the invites into the majors next year, so it's obviously I'm gonna have to stay amateur to play in them. So it's probably not gonna be in the next year, but the new 5 and 5 rules giving me an opportunity to potentially play next year at college if I need to. And it all just depends on college PGA Tour U and things like that. So if I'm high enough on PGA Tour U then to get a card, then I probably will take it and turn pro. But if I'm not, and I think I can get better on it, then I think I'll stay amateur until I think my game's in the best place.
Who all was with you this week up in at Marion?
There was quite a lot towards the end, but at the start there was obviously my mum, dad, a girlfriend, Sarah, and then we had a couple of my mum's friends who used to live in England, that were school friends that moved over to America. They came and watched. One of my mum's really good friends from home, he flew over and stayed at their house and watched the first round at Philadelphia, so that was really cool. And then towards the end of the week, I had my teammates from Dalton, coach from Dalton, teammates from Florida State, managers, coaches. So they all flew up for the Sunday match, which was really, really nice to have them supporting. So it's been an awesome week, and I can't thank everyone enough to for coming up there and supporting me.
You needed a whole hotel just for all your friends and family who came.
We
So,
could have booked out an entire hotel.
and Marion, speaking of which, what a historic venue. I mean, they've hosted some of the most important moments in American golf history. Could you appreciate that history while you were competing all week?
Yeah, 100%. I think you appreciated it more at the start of the week, when you just got there and you're looking around and you're like, wow, this place is really impressive. But towards the end of the week, you kind of just really focused on your golf, and it kind of slips your mind a little bit. And then as soon as you finish, you remember it again. You're like, well, that's pretty cool that I've just managed to play a semi-final or quarter-final at Marion Golf Club, and I can't thank Marion Golf Club enough for how amazing the venue is. The history is pretty impressive, and it's been definitely a really, really, really good week.
How are you and Sarah going to celebrate now?
Well, we don't have much time together now, because we're going to Georgia, and then she just transferred to Middle Tennessee, so we've got to go up there in Nashville, and then I've got to fly on Wednesday back to school, FSU. So we've got a couple more days, and then that's it. So
Wow.
nothing special, but maybe we have some food tonight or something like that. Just us two.
Well, congratulations again, Jack Whaley. What a great experience, and U.S. Amateur champion. Just that feels great, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely not sunk in yet, but it's a pretty awesome experience, and I'm really glad to be on that trophy with such amazing names. So yeah, awesome.
Well, safe travels, continued success.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Be careful, Sarah, driving.
She said be careful. Thank you very much.
Take care. Thanks so much.
See you soon.
And as you regular listeners know, I enjoy talking with personalities from the worlds of Hollywood, music, and sports about their success stories and their passion for golf. Joining me now is Ed Burns, actor, producer, director, writer, editor, New York's own Ed Burns. And Ed is best known for his independent film, The Brothers McMullen, which achieved worldwide success. He also did Sidewalks of New York, Ash Wednesday. He appeared in films such as Saving Private Ryan, The Holiday, 27 Dresses, to name a few. Ed's latest independent film is Finnegan's Foursome, his first film shot and produced abroad. The comedy follows two competitive Irish-American brothers and their children as they travel to Ireland after the death of their father, a well-known professional golfer, to scatter his ashes and continue the family's long-running golf tournament in his honor. Now, the film holds special meaning for me because many of its most memorable scenes were filmed at spectacular Carn Golf Links in Balmallet, Ireland, in County Mayo, where I am a proud member and serve as president of the International Members Association. Welcome to Talking Golf, Ed Burns.
And thank you so much for having me. And I just have one question out of the gate. Did we do justice to Carn as far as showcasing the beauty that is that unbelievably magnificent course?
Oh my gosh, the cinematography was spectacular. And you got it on some gorgeous days, too. So, and there were some great shots there, by the way, too. So all those questions. Did you have to wait for a gorgeous day? Or tell me a little bit of the history behind the weather there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, like when you're playing golf, you talk about the golf gods all the time, right? How periodically they help you out, but most of the times they don't give you that break. It's the same is true when you're making a film. You know, we always talk about the movie gods, and it's usually applied to the weather. For some reason, and you know the weather out there in County Mayo, you can get, and I know it's a cliche, but all four seasons can show up in one day. We were out there to shoot that entire sequence. I think we were there for a week, 5 days of shooting. And you've been there enough to know that you don't get four or five blue sky days in a row. We did.
Oh, like, man.
It was, and then, you know, we had our fifth day. We had to come, you know, and again, you're shooting a single round of golf over the course of 4 days. So you want, from a continuity standpoint, that weather to look fairly consistent. But the morning of the fifth day, it was one of those. The rain was whipping left to right through the air. There was no way any of it was going to match. So we started to think of what else can we shoot? Maybe we'll just shoot some insert shots of gloves and hands and, you know, tight shots of putts rolling in. And no sooner do we set up for the first shot, the clouds break, the sun comes out, we get a fifth day of sun, and we finish strong. So we got lucky.
I love it. The golf gods were good to you. And, you know, I've been to Ireland, throughout the country of Ireland and Northern Ireland, where there was sunshine for four or five straight weeks. I mean, a couple of summers ago, there was a drought there. And that was so unusual, as you know, because you do get four or five seasons in a day. But what inspired you to write Finnegan's Foursome, Ed?
So it's interesting. It came from a number of different places. And, you know, anytime I'm writing a screenplay, very rarely do I have one idea that, oh, this is the story I want to tell. I make character-driven films, and usually I start with characters. This was more starting with an incident. You know, about 6 years ago during COVID, my mom passed away. She was cremated. We couldn't have a service for almost a year. And finally, when we were able to have a service out on our church on Long Island, my dad wasn't really in any shape to think about what the burial might be. We figured we'd figure that out later. Because my mom was cremated, I had her ashes in our apartment in the city. So I told my dad, what we'll do is after the service, let's take my mom's ashes and we'll distribute them in all of her favorite places in New York City. My mom went to high school on 68th and Lex. She grew up in the South Bronx. Our first apartment was in Woodside, Queens. We were out in Long Island. So those were going to be the spots. Now, when you're distributing people's ashes in public places, we didn't ask for permission. So when we went to her church, kind of a funny thing happened, right? Like, it's me and my dad. And you know that it's an emotional and it's a sad day. And as we step into that church where my parents were married, you know, my dad was, you know, he was emotional. We walk down the altar and suddenly a priest appears. Now we can't throw the ashes because the priest is there. We don't have permission. So my dad says, look, I'll talk to the priest. When he turns his back, you grab a fistful of ashes, throw it on the altar.
Oh my
gosh. And that's what we did. All right.
Really?
Yeah. And we leave the church laughing. And I was
oh
like,
my
okay,
gosh.
That's the way my mother would have loved to have been grieved, right? So I would say, you know, maybe 2 months later, as I reflected back on that day, I was like, okay, there's a lot in here I have to figure out one day to use in a film.
Sure.
And that sort of gave birth to part of the idea for this movie, where we take our father's ashes back to Ireland to be distributed in some meaningful places, including two golf courses, one of which was Carn. The second bit of inspiration was when my dad is a sicko golfer. He loves to play. At the time, he was 83 years old. So I said, I'm going to pick up this game to spend more time with him. The thing that happened that I did not anticipate was I became even more of a sicko golfer than him. As we were just discussing, I would play every day if I could. So my wife then, after about 2 years, asks me, all right, so is this now more important to you than your work? And I had remembered an old Martin Scorsese quote where he said, you know, it's the role of a filmmaker, storyteller, to make your passions, your obsessions as interesting as to your audience as they are to you. So I was like, all right, well, golf is my new love, my new passion. I'm a filmmaker, a storyteller. How am I going to marry those two? And that's kind of, with all of that kind of brewing, is how the idea of this film was born.
Wow. Well, first of all, going back to the church and, throwing a fast one at the priest or pulling a fast one at the priest. I mean, that's just a crazy story. I love that story. And, you know, Christy Turlington, your wife, just incredible model, gorgeous actress and model. I mean, she was being serious now. She put you to the test here with, you know, with the question about, you know, your passion for golf versus your passion for work. That was a serious question, don't you think?
I have to admit, part of it was in jest because I'm a workaholic and I write every day and I love to write. But part of it was, okay, you know, maybe it was after a day where I played, you know, I had gone out for 3 straight days. But when she said it, what it did was it sparked the idea of, oh, wait, why not sit down and write a golf story? So I have to give her kind of the credit for sort of sparking the idea of making a film about golf.
And marrying your two passions, which is perfect. I mean, there's nothing better, right? So how long have you been playing the game, and did your father teach you golf?
I have only been playing for 6 years. I played for a couple of years in the 90s. You know, after Brothers McMullen, I made a little money. I was spending a lot of time as a young actor out in Los Angeles. I got invites through a bunch of people out there to some tournaments and got to play some great courses. And I look back on that time and, you know, I was a terrible golfer. I had no appreciation of what an invite to Riviera meant. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know anything about the game. But this time, when I picked the game up 6 years ago, I made a costly error in that I didn't take any lessons for about 2 years, and I was terrible. And then finally, a friend suggested, what are you doing? Like, just take lessons if you love this game so much. And that just completely changed my game. And now, you know, it's, like I said, I think about golf every day. I'm reading something about golf every day. I'm listening to golf podcasts, including yours. Long before we met. So
thanks for
that. I just eat it up. I mean, I love it.
Well, to get a handicap like below 10, to literally have a single digit handicap in only 6 years is quite remarkable. So you're doing something right, for sure.
Spending a lot of time out there grinding, you know.
You're working hard at it. Well, golf has often been described as a metaphor for life, as you know. I write about that subject a lot. But what life lessons or themes did you hope audiences take away from this film?
You know, it's interesting. There are two things. You know, like I had a round maybe 3 years ago because I once I started playing, I lured my son into playing the game as well. And we were at a course that I'm sure you know, Montauk Downs out on the east end of Long Island.
Oh, sure. Great public course.
We played a late afternoon round The sun was low in the sky. It was a little misty out. And I was with my dad and my son. All right. And we're walking down the 17th fairway. And, you know, like there were those, it was kind of like magical little moments where just like you're at peace. I'm looking at my family and we're all just having a good time. Nobody's on their phone. Everyone had hit a nice drive. And it was a special moment that when I was writing the screenplay, I'm like, how do I create that? You know, because it wasn't about hitting a great shot. You know, there's all those metaphors that we could talk about, like, you know, playing it as it lies and dealing with, you know, the hardship that the game brings you and integrity and honesty and keeping your own score. But this was a different kind of almost mystical moment where there was so much like just joy. Like we were just like a family at peace. So this is a scene late in the film. We're on the 17th. We actually didn't shoot it on the 17th hole, I think, at Carn. But it's that par three at Carn where we bring out the old hickory shafted club. And sure, afterwards, it's just like a little montage of the family sort of rolling their putts and giving high fives and walking off the course together. And that's what I tried to create. So whatever those things are that the game gives you, that's been my favorite part.
Obviously, yeah, the bonding and, you know, it's just a great experience, as you say, with your family and friends. And those family relationships are central to the story, obviously. Oh, yeah. And it sounds so wonderful that, you know, so much of these moments in the film are based on moments from your real life.
Yeah. Well, it's also funny, you know, like once I started to write the script and I built out the framework of what the story was going to be, the fact that we would have this, you know, ongoing family tournament, you know, the Finnegan's Cup dating back to Ireland in the 1920s, and that when the movie opens, where the game is moved to the States, we're down in South Carolina, the old man dies. Once all that framework was done, I had to figure out, well, how am I going to build out these golf sequences that they'll be interested or interesting to not just golfers, but people who don't love golf. So one of the things, there's a great scene in The Natural, the Robert Redford film. It's early in the movie, and it's a scene where there's a challenge. Can Roy Hobbs strike out Babe Ruth? All right, and it's just it's a simple little sequence. But what it does is it sets up a challenge. We identify who the hero is and who the villain is. And the audience is immediately invested in, can Roy strike out Babe Ruth? There are no stakes. It's not a game. They're in like just a field. I forget why they were all there. And I thought, okay, that's the key for this movie. This isn't a professional golf tournament. This is a family golf tournament with four mid-handicap golfers with ugly swings. So I don't want anyone to think that this is like Tin Cup and we're, you know, that the stakes are real. Right, it's just pride and sibling or familial rivalries. But I knew, built into every shot, if I could set an obstacle or a goal, and that there would be very little just guys hitting the ball. Like it had to have something that a non-golf fan could be invested in seeing, like the long drive competition that my character and Brian D'Arcy, James's character, have as we're within the round. So that was helpful. The other thing is, as I started to, you know, go out and play with all of my friends, everyone has great golf stories, right? They have the story of the hole in one, or a crazy, you know, worm burning eagle, or someone who was cheating, or just silly smack talk. So, you know, I would have my phone with me and I just started taking notes. And I got to tell you, you know, like probably a dozen of those stories I heard on the golf course ended up in the movie.
Absolutely. I mean, so many themes, you know, overcoming fear. I mean, the female character had never really played golf before in real life, right?
Yep.
And she learned and had a pretty decent swing, right,
yeah.
for
yeah.
not playing. And having patience. And do you most relate to your character in the film? Or you know, what character?
Absolutely not.
Foursome, do you most identify with? Because, I mean, if you're like that, there's a lot of trash talking going around.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And some anger there, too.
Well, it's funny. Like, we have all played with a type of golfer that I play in this movie. Like, I wanted the character I created for myself to be a bit of a horse's ass. You know, he is the guy who's prone to throwing his club, snapping his putter over his knee, you know, screaming and yelling at the ball, sulking, all of those things you hate when that guy shows up in your foursome. So I knew he would be the villain in our story, and I would play that part. So no, I am absolutely not that guy.
Good to hear.
I just kind of love being out there. If I have a crappy round, I have a crappy round. You know what I mean? So if anything, my personality on the golf course is a lot more like Brian D'Arcy James's character, who plays my brother in the film.
Right.
He's very even keeled and chill, and only when his obnoxious brother gets him too much might he throw a little smack talk back at him.
Who of the cast is actually the best golfer in real life?
Hands down, the kid who plays my son, an actor, Brian Muller. I met him when he acted in a television series I made a couple of years ago called Bridge and Tunnel. And I was writing the golf screenplay in between seasons 1 and 2 of that show. And he and I went out to play golf one day, and I told him I'm working on this script. This idea of a family golf tournament that goes to Ireland. And we're on the first tee box, and he gets up, and I mean, that swing of his is gorgeous, and he bombs the hell out of the ball. And I was like, okay, Brian, you're going to be in the movie, and you're going to play my son. So hands down, you know, and like, again, like, you know golf in Ireland, and you know how gorgeous Carn is. When we were making the movie, you know, on the weekends, or because it got dark so late in the day there, you know, we were shooting in the summer, it didn't get dark till 11 o'clock. So if we wrapped at 6, we'd grab a quick meal and then go out on the golf course. You know, the cast would go to play together. So, you know, we laughed when we kind of called this a job, if you will, or work, because it really wasn't. But anytime we played, Brian Muller was hands down the best golfer of the bunch.
Right. And I had the chance to talk to Erica Hernandez, who plays your niece. Lovely, lovely. And Brian D'Arcy James, just so much fun. Just a charming, charming guy. But you know, a lot of your shots, you had some chip-ins. You had some, you know, great putts. I mean, how long did it really take to get some of those really good shots filmed?
Well, it's funny, you know, Erica Hernandez, who you'd mentioned, had never played golf before. But what we did with her is, like, you know, when you're an actor and you have a fight sequence, you know, you work with trainers and choreographers to make sure you look like a fighter or a boxer or whatever it is. So with Erica, what we did was, before we let her hit a golf ball, we found her a teaching pro who would teach her the swing the way you would learn a dance move. So never thinking about contact, because we knew we could, through visual effects, do that later on. But if she could just learn the swing the way you would learn a dance sequence, it would look like, as you said, a pretty good swing for someone who'd never played before. Now, she would readily admit this, when we did have to have her hit the ball, immediately the elegant swing turns into, you know, you're looking to hit the ball and make contact. But to answer your question, I would say there are a handful, like what we did was, so there's a handful of like kind of amazing shots that we did make. But what we would do is we would just roll the camera and have a bucket of balls out of frame and just drop a ball, let's say, in front of Brian Muller as he would try and do, you know, that a hole out of chip from, you know, from 30 yards out. But he would get 40 chances to do it.
Right.
And one of them would go and we'd go nuts. There is one funny story where the shot where we have the hole in one, we were trying, we knew that potentially how hard it would be to do that, right?
Sure.
So we knew we would probably do that with visual effects. But we figured we'd give the golf pro at Carton House, a guy named Liam McCool. I don't know if you know him at all, but
yeah,
great
sure.
guy, great actor. So we set him up on the tee box, and the idea was our camera guys would try and catch his ball in flight and then do the pan down to the green, and let's see if he could at least get it close to a hole in one, and then maybe the visual effect is just the last couple of rolls or something like that. However, when you're shooting a film, we're using different cameras than they use to shoot a golf event. So it's much harder to track the ball in the sky,
right.
And it's also harder to stay with it. But our operators were doing a great job. We were getting all of them, but then Liam hit one shot, the ball went up, we're tracking with it, I'm watching the monitor, the camera comes down, there's no ball, and then the entire crew goes nuts cheering. So Liam hit a hole in one, but we missed it with the camera.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And how often does that happen?
I know.
It's so hard
nuts.
For those who aren't golfers. It's so rare to have a hole in one. I'm like, God, you must have just kicked yourself.
You know, the good thing is, you know, with visual effects today, we knew any shot that we wanted to create, we could do it pretty convincingly.
I know, right? Exactly. The magic of cinema, for sure.
Yep.
Well, what was it like filming in Balmullet and working with the local community when you were doing the shots at Carn?
I mean, first of all, you know, Jerry Maguire and Fiona at Carn could not have been more welcoming and gracious to us. They kind of, you know, anything that we needed, they just sort of bent over backwards to make sure that we would have the easiest time filming on that golf course. We also, you know, there's that scene in the film where the family dedicates a bench with the father's "Lash 'em straight" saying up there. You know, we knew that we wanted that to be like a substantial big wooden bench. When we finished shooting, I said to Jerry, I said, so, you know, let me know. I promise you we'll get that bench out of there, you know, when we wrap. And he's like, oh, no, please, would you just please leave it up on that tee box? So I know it's still there today, which is pretty awesome because I've seen
you
on
know
Instagram.
How many pictures I've taken sitting on that bench?
Oh, really? So we
That's
stole that
priceless.
Idea because of the bench on Ballybunion. That I guess says close to heaven or CTH. So we kind of like the idea. So we did that. But the town of Balmullet was so great. We all stayed there while we were shooting. You know the bar, I'm sure, that we had our wrap party at. And,
McDonald's pub.
Oh, my God. It was the best. So we had an incredible time. We did our own kind of trad session in the back room. You know, everybody in the crew, for the most part, can either play guitar or fiddle and sing. As you saw, my cast all have great voices. We had a great, great night there.
Oh my God, what a blast, really. So, you know, looking back on your trips, how many times now have you been to Ireland?
Well, I've been with my family a number of times, but I've worked there twice because famously down in Wexford is where we shot the D-Day sequence in Private Ryan. So yeah. So I've gotten to shoot there twice, and it's kind of like we all remember in shooting that sequence how incredible the crews were. So I knew that would be true. Coming back here all these years later, and it was true that, you know, our crew based out of Dublin was fantastic.
So what does Ireland mean to you?
Oh yeah,
as a golf destination.
Yeah. Like I said, my mom's family was from Westmeath, Mullingar. So we'd gone back. We'd gone to the family house a number of times, but that was all before I started playing golf. So once I get into the game, all of my golf buddies are like, you're Mr. Ireland, and you've never done the Irish golf trip. So I have a buddy, Joe Faunin, who his family's from there. He spent every summer there. He organizes these trips. He's like, Eddie, we're going to set up the trip. So I set up my first trip a couple of years ago, and we played Carn. And I'm going back on in a couple of weeks. And we're going to Royal County Down, is it a Port Rush?
Royal Port Rush.
Royal Port Rush.
Where they hosted the Open Championship.
Yep, yep.
Last year.
Port Monarch down in Dublin.
Oh, you'll love it, right?
Yep. And then we'll probably end up at Carton House because a couple of us are going to stay a couple extra days. And then I'm back in July for the Galway Film Festival.
They can't wait. The Carn folks cannot wait to go to that screening. I've heard from all of them. They're just so excited.
Great. So on that trip, where we screen on a Sunday, that Monday I'm going up to Carn.
That's awesome. So you're going back and hopefully kind of relax and just have fun, have a couple pints, and just play golf.
Exactly. Exactly. It'll be very different to be on that golf course, not thinking about where the camera has to go.
Exactly. So if you could organize and play with any foursome, including yourself, in the world, who would the other three people be? I mean, who would your favorite foursome of all time be if you include yourself, and who would you pick?
I mean, it would be my dad and my son. My daughter and wife don't play. Probably, I have so many great golf friends that I would hate to exclude any one of them. But I would have to say my earliest sort of golf enabler was a guy named Billy Holt, who's still one of my best friends. We raised our kids together. And he's the one who kept inviting me out to some great courses, even when my game was lousy. And my dad considers him, another son. I would say that. I'd put my brother in there as well, as a potential fourth if Billy couldn't make it. But we have a healthy sibling rivalry, so sometimes those rounds aren't as fun as they should be.
I mean, that could be a sequel, I'm sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yep.
To Finnegan's foursome. Last question, Ed. Tell me about some future projects. I know you have a couple things cooking already.
Well, so interestingly, I go back to Ireland in August to act in a series called Greystones. It's 8 episodes shooting over there. I have a kind of another sports film that we're trying to get put together. Which is called The Mighty Stags, which is a true story about the St. Agnes basketball team on Long Island in 1984, starting point guard was none other than Billy Donovan, who won a couple of national championships in Florida, coached the Chicago Bulls forever. So that's the next film we're going to try and get made.
I love it. You're always busy. It's such a pleasure to meet you in person, and we're definitely playing golf together.
Without a doubt, I can't wait.
You're my newest golf buddy.
I can't wait.
Ed Burns of Finnegan's Foursome, continued success, and say hi to all the folks at Carn Golf Club in Balmullet for me when you get out there.
I definitely will. Thank you, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Sports Interview. My thanks to Ed Burns, to Jack Whaley, to Nathan Moore, and to Mike Goodsound Production. Remember, whether it's Ed Burns bringing a story to life on the links of Ireland or Jack Whaley beginning what could be an extraordinary journey in golf, it is a reminder that reaching the destination is wonderful, but so much of life is about appreciating the journey along the way. Look forward to visiting with you next time right here on Sports Interview with Anne LaGorey.